chapter number 7, Gospel of Matthew chapter number 7 today as we look in the Word of God. Enjoyed all the good singing, Sunday school lesson, and things that are going on here at the church. And we appreciate the privilege to be here. Thank God for Brother Lawson. And I know that you got to come back home to rest after you've been on vacation. My daddy used to say the best part of a vacation is turning up Green River Road and heading to the house. Amen. And so sometimes that's what happens. All right, looking in chapter number 7 of the Gospel of Matthew, drop down, if you will, please, to verse number 20. Matthew chapter number 7, verse number 20. The Lord Jesus said, "Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes." Lord, we thank you for the privilege to be in the house of God this morning. Thank you for health, for life, and opportunity to come together as an assembly and worship you. And thank you, Father, for the privilege to open the Word of God and read it publicly without fearing of government intervention. And Lord, folk coming in on us today, you've hedged us about for this time. And we want to thank you for that. Lord, we read this morning in your word where you said, "Without me you can do nothing." Lord, we realize our inabilities, but I thank you that we also read that we can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth us. And Lord, I pray for that divine strength and that power. Minister to this congregation. May we hear not just the words of a man, but may we receive it truly as it is, the word of God. May Holy Ghost conviction settle in on that soul that's lost, and may they be drawn by divine power to the foot of the cross that they might be saved. Lord, I pray you help your children. You know the burdens, the needs. And Lord, we ask you in Jesus' name that you will work and move in this service. We give you glory in advance for what you're going to do in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. The Lord Jesus is telling a story about two men and two building projects. And the bottom line of it is there were two different foundations that these men were building on. Now, each one of these buildings, they had to face a time of judgment. The Bible says the winds came, the rains descended, the floods came up, and the houses were beat upon. And then at that great test, the evidence was that one had built on a solid foundation, and the other had built on sand, and the house on the sand could not stand. I want to preach this morning on this thought, the solid foundation. The solid foundation. Now, all of us are headed for that day of testing. We're all headed to that day when we'll stand before the Lord, and that day shall declare what foundation that you're building upon, and either your house will stand or it will be destroyed with utter destruction like is unimaginable to man. Every one of us are going in that direction. Not a one of us are going to be able to escape. There's something that the scientists, the medical field, all of the engineers, they've never been able to stop, and that is the sentence that is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. Now, if I said there's a disease among us that 60% of the people are going to die here, boy, you'd flee out of this place. If I said it's 80%, it would shock you. But I'm telling you, there's something in every one of us, 100%, you are going to have to die. I don't know when, I don't know where, I don't know how it will come, but it will come to every one of us. And in that day, there's going to be a time of testing, and it's going to be proven what foundation that you're established on and what foundation that you have built your life upon. And I want to look today at this thought of the sure, solid foundation. Now, there are many different kind of builders. I think, first of all, that there are those that build on unrighteousness. Turn to Romans chapter number 1. The book of Romans, chapter number 1, and there are people that build on the sand. And you know, when you build on the sand, it's easy. You don't have to apply much effort to dig a footing and then begin to lay the bricks, the blocks, and then begin to establish on that. Living easy, living free. And AC/DC wrote that song about Hell's Bells, and they described it. They said, living easy, living free, season's ticket on a one-way ride, taking nothing, just leave me be. They're saying, we're building on the sand. We're building on unrighteousness. And they're screaming, I'm on the highway to hell. And they know that they're on the highway to hell, but they make it a big joke and they make it a big laugh. But there are so many today that are building their lives on unrighteousness. Now, Romans chapter number 1 describes for us the man that is building a life on the sinking sand of unrighteousness. Now, God said in verse number 18 that his wrath is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. He said there's a group that are holding truth in unrighteousness. They're building their life on the sinking sand of unrighteousness. I'm going to live for myself. I'm going to do what I want to do. Don't care what God said, what the church said, what anybody else said. This is my life, and this is how I'm going to live it. The Bible tells us there in verse number 19, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. God's saying, you shouldn't build on this sinking sand. There's a solid rock foundation. You need to be building there, but they neglect that. And the Bible tells us how they begin to build in verse number 21. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination, and their foolish heart was darkened. When men build on the sinking sand of sin, the Bible tells us they're doing so because they have rejected God and who God is, and they're not thankful that there is a God. Do you notice the songs this morning? So much to thank him for. And God is honored by people that thank him. What can you give the God that owns everything? Dig up gold? Why, he paves the street with that. Dive to the depths of the sea, get large pearls. God said, oh, that's just a door for me. Get mighty jewels. He said, I put that in the foundation, his foundation stone. So what can you give the God that owns everything? You can give him thanksgiving and honor and worship and acknowledge that he's there. But the Bible said those that are building on unrighteousness, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful. And as a result, they become vain in their imagination, imagining what kind of God God is. And we're living in a day of men that say, I have my own truth. I have my own God. And you go out on the street and ask people who's God, they may say he's a rock, he's a tree. He's the atmosphere, you know, he's the climate. I'm God. And they have vain imaginations because they're assuming that they know more than the Word of God. And because they have rejected that, the Bible says in verse 21, they become foolish in their heart, and there's a darkness that falls upon them. Leave me alone. I'm building my foundation. I'm in a hurry. I'm not going to really take a lot of time to examine whether it'll fall or it won't fall. I'm just going to get this building built. I'm going to live like I want to live without a whole lot of anticipation of that day when the flood's going to come, the wind's going to blow, the rain's going to come down, and there's going to be a beating upon that house. Then in verse number 22, as they build on this foundation of sinking sand, it said they professed themselves to be wise and they became fools. Sir, you ought not to build your house on that sinking sand of unrighteousness. Oh, shut up. I know what I'm doing. Leave me alone. I'm the wise man. You're the foolish man. And they're professors. My, have we not got a lot of professors that are fools in this hour? You go down here to Tennessee University or to Clemson University or North Carolina, any of these universities, and look at your professors and listen to what they're teaching. They teach and they say to the young people that are there, now here's what we're going to do. Here's what we believe. We believe that way back yonder, nobody knows where, nobody knows when, nobody knows why, nobody knows who, nobody knows what, nobody knows how. But all big nothingness jumped together with such fury, there was an explosion called Big Bang. And in Big Bang, there was a squiggly amoeba riding on a fiery meteorite down through the universe, and it got dumped off like a bronc rider in a rodeo in the Atlantic Ocean, and they don't tell you where that comes from, but he got dumped off in the Atlantic Ocean. And then he begins to evolve. He begins to change. He begins to mutate. And he becomes a guppy, then he becomes a shrimp, then he becomes a bigger fish, and then he's a shark, and then he swells up into a big whale, and he gets stuck on the seashore chasing something, and he likes it outside the water better than he does inside the water. And so he shrunk down and became an iguana lizard and crawled out of the ocean, and one day it got cold, so he grew him fur, and he became a possum, and he looked at himself in the water one day and said, I don't like the looks of that, so he hopped away as a kangaroo, and then it wasn't long till he wanted to climb a tree, and so he shrunk down into a spider monkey and then a chimpanzee, and then he said, I've got to be stronger, and he became a gorilla, and he climbed up to grab a banana one day, slipped and hit his head on a rock, put on a suit and tie, and marched right over here to UT and become a professor. Now that's the abbreviated form, but I can save you 4 years of college right there. And that's the bottom line. And you talk about fools. I go down there and say, in the beginning God created, and they say, you're crazy, you're a fool. But it's a whole lot easier for me to believe in the beginning God created than in the beginning Big Bang. But you see, when I was preaching in Russia years ago, they were filled with that atheistic, communistic philosophies. And one fellow told me, said, it's so hard for me to believe in God because I've believed in evolution and the Big Bang all these years, and I've built my life upon that. And he said, if there's no God, then we can do what we want to do, and we can live like we want to live. But if there's a God, then there's an accountability. And if there's accountability, then I'm not right. And if I'm not right, then I need to change some things. And then I need to find out how I can be made right with that God. So I'll just push it all out as a fool, profess myself to be wiser than God, and build on this sinking sand. Then he goes on to say in verse number 23, they changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like unto corruptible man, to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Those that are building on unrighteousness, they want a God, but they don't want the God of the Bible. And so they begin to form things that look like animals and beasts and trees and idols and all those things. And all around the world, there's a lot of religious people, but it's a corrupt unrighteousness. Then it says in verse 24, wherefore God gave them up to uncleanliness. This building on unrighteousness is uncleanliness. Cleanliness is next to godliness, is the old saying. That's not a Bible verse, but ungodliness is next to filthiness. Amen. In verse number 24, they begin to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Building on this sinking sand, it becomes a lustful thing. And there's no hedges. There's no borders. I begin to let loose of this flesh and the affections and the lust thereof. And in verse number 25, they changed the truth of God into a lie and worship and serve the creature more than the Creator. They worship. But what do they worship? They're worshiping on sinking sand of unrighteousness, and they worship the creature more than the Creator. And we've got a lot of religious revival going on in this country, but it's a revival of creature worship and creation worship. That's why they're wanting you to drive an electric car. That's why your gas, you can just about drink it anymore. Boy, the old time high test, I'll tell you what, you can smell it and you put it in your tank. This stuff's like water, you know, because of all the because of the environment. God bless you ladies. You better quit using that hairspray because you're burning a hole in the ozone layer and we're all going to be sucked out. Yeah. We need to pay more taxes so they can spray more aluminum oxide in the atmosphere and reflect the sun and keep it cool so we don't all melt down. Because you know right now, we're in global warming. Oh my, and I predict that it's going to get worse in July. And it's going to be terrible at the end of July. And we're all going to die because of all these mechanics letting out Freon. And boy, I tell you, it's just awful. But you know what? Every year God inserts this. He says, all right, it's going to come heat. But hang on. The leaves are going to change and it's going to cool off. Hang on. It's going to look like a man with a stubbled beard all across the Blue Ridge Mountains, and cold weather and snow is going to set in. But just hang on. There's going to come a warmth, and the daffodils will pop their head up through the soil again, and springtime will come. And it happens every year. Amen. And with all their climate worship and all that, they cannot stop it, and they cannot change it. Did it happen last year? Winter, spring, summer, and fall? You reckon it's going to happen this year? It's happened for since creation. God said that's the way it's going to be. And yet they change. They change and they worship the creature more than the Creator. And then as they change that, then God gives up them the vile affection, changing their desire, men for men, women for women, the perverted lifestyles of this group today. And that's because of the sin that's in their heart. And they say, you know, we're just going to let go. We're going to let go of our lust and do what we want to do. And they're building on sinking sand. And just leave me alone. I'm just as good as you are, just as good as anybody else is, building on the sinking sand. And then in verse number 28, it said, even as they did not like to retain God, that is the God of the Bible. In their knowledge, God gave them over to do those things that are not convenient. You want it? You want it? You're going to build on the sand? Build on the sand. Do it. Have at it. You're going to want that, but you're not going to want what you get. And just like Israel, they said, give us a king, give us a king. Samuel said, no, you don't want that. We want it, we want it, we want it. And after they got Saul, they didn't want what they got. You keep going down the road of sin. You keep pursuing that unrighteousness. God's going to say, all right, that's what you want. Have at it. You got to remember, though, the wages of sin is death. Deception and death and unrighteousness never wind up in a good way. And then in verse number 28, he says, here's what they're building on that foundation of sinking sand, filled with all unrighteousness. Fornication, these are blocks that they're building on that are life. Fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. What about right there in the middle of all this stuff that you say, oh, this is so wicked, vile, dark, and all that, disobedient to parents, without natural affection, without understanding, covenant breakers, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, and they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do it. building on unrighteousness. But then there is another construction crew that comes along and they say, we'll just go down the creek just a little ways, but we're still going to build on sandy soil. And that is those that build on self-righteousness. Self-righteousness. Oh yeah, we're not like the foolish man. Boy, he's building in a swamp. We're going a little bit higher, but he's still building on sand. And in Romans chapter number 2, he tells us about this builder. He tells us that that religious man, in the day when God judges the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, according to my gospel, they're going to wind up in trouble with God. For that religious man, he is establishing his own righteousness, being ignorant of God's righteousness, has not submitted himself unto the righteousness of God. Oh, I'm not like that foolish guy. There he is, but I'm still on sand, and I can handle this foundation. We'll drive a few pegs deep in the ground. We'll bring in some rocks, and we'll fix it up where our foundation will stand. Though it's not on the solid rock, we'll fix our own foundation up. Well, the Bible tells us in verse number 19, now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. The Lord said you can build yourself on self-righteousness, and yet it is still sinking sand. Isaiah declared all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. And the Lord told us there in Matthew number 7 that there are people going to be holding on to this foundation of self-righteousness to the day they stand before God. And God's going to say, why should I let you into my heaven? Lord, Lord, have we not done many mighty works in thy name? We've even cast out a few devils along the way. And then he said, I'll say unto them, depart from me, ye cursed into everlasting fire. I never knew you. But wait a minute now. We've built a nice house, but it's on the sand of self-righteousness. Lord, Lord, have we not done? Look what I've done. I was a member of the church. I gave money. I helped crippled children. I was good to my neighbor. I was even friends with a preacher. Have we not done not just works, but many mighty works? They got a monument to my name over there about what I've done in the community and how I've helped people. I've done many mighty works. But the Lord said, I'll declare unto them in that day, depart, ye cursed. You're still cursed. You're still cursed. A rich young man came to Jesus one time and he said, good master, what must I do to inherit eternal life? The Lord says, do, huh? Do. You want to know what you got to do? He said, what about the commandments? Oh, I've kept them from my youth up. The Lord put the acid test to him. Have you really kept them from your youth up? There are but two commandments, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and the second like unto it, love thy neighbors thyself. He said, all right, since you're keeping the law, I want you to fulfill the law. I want you to sell all that you have, give to the poor, and then come follow me. Two commandments. If you love your neighbor as much as you love yourself, you don't mind them having what you've got. And then the second thing is, if you really love God, if he tells you to leave that and come follow me, you won't mind doing that at all, will you? Well, that young man, the Bible says, went away sorrowful because he had much goods. But the truth is, it was the goods that had him. And his sorrow was, Jesus nailed it, that he was not keeping the law. If you could keep the law, you could be saved. But if you break it in one point, you're condemned like everybody else. And the Bible says, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. Not mine, not yours. I had two come to my door the other day, knock on the door. Hello, how are you? Doing fine. We'd like to talk to you about prophecy. Are you Jehovah Witnesses? Yes, we are. I said, where are you from? Down in Jamaica. I said, well, how in the world did you get tangled up in this mess? Well, my dad is a Baptist preacher, and it's a long story. And so I just went to preaching to him for a while. And if you want them to hit the trail, just do this. I'm praying for you. Our Father, boy, down the road they go. They don't want you praying for them. But you see, they're out there trying to work their way in. But it's not just them. There's multitudes of people that are thinking, I've done this or I've done that, so God's going to look at me and say, all right, enter on in. But if you come before the Lord and you say, Lord, Lord, have not I not done, I've done. I'm bringing to you what I've done. You're going to hear what Jesus said, depart, you cursed, into everlasting fire. Sitting at a table in Moscow, Russia, been 12 of us men on a crusade over there, had interpreters sitting across the table from us, and I witnessed to this lady interpreter, and she said, now, let me see if I have this right. You say that the God of heaven sent his son Jesus to die on the cross and shed his blood, that whoever would believe in him could be saved, no matter what they've done or what sin they've committed, if they'll trust him. I said, that's right. She said, however, you say that if a person rejects Jesus Christ, no matter if they've been a religious person or a moral person, if they reject him, then God will send them to the eternal fire. I said, you got it. She said, I cannot receive such a gospel. I said, why? One that would damn the good and save the bad. I said, have you ever taken a penny piece of candy or borrowed a pen and didn't give it back or maybe broke a traffic law? Well, we all have. I said, well, then you've sinned. And the truth is, we've all sinned. And there's none good, no, not one. And if God didn't save the bad, none of us would be saved, because we all fit into that category. And you cannot bypass Jesus Christ. But she's building on self-righteousness, thinking there's something that I've done. What are you trusting in this morning? What are you resting in today? I was out in Kansas preaching, and I came there to the church. It's a mission church. Went out there to preach, try to minister to them, and the Lord put in my heart what to preach. And then when I got there wasn't but like 10 or 12 people there, and they all had their Bibles open just like you, and seemed like everybody there was saved. And so I read a scripture out of Isaiah, and as I'm reading it, God said, I told you what to preach. You ever had that happen, Brother Lawson? And so I said, now, turn over to John chapter number 3. And so I started preaching on the new birth. And I didn't know it, but there was a guy that was raised as a Jehovah Witness sitting over there, and he'd been coming off and on to the church. And that morning, give the invitation, and here he came. And the preacher said, what can I pray with you about? He said, I got to get saved. He said, what do you mean? He said, I need to look to Jesus. Just like those folk that looked to the brazen serpent and they were healed, Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll be the one that'll save. I'll give my life. And he said, I've never done that. I've looked at religion. I've looked at church. I've been raised like that. But said, this morning I see it. I see it now. Salvation is in Jesus Christ. And the old boy got saved by the grace of God. Come back every service. Preacher texted me just yesterday, and he said, hey, he's still in there going on with God. I said, hallelujah. But you see, he got off that foundation of self-righteousness. And I'm not just picking on JWs. There's a million different ways a man can try to play this self-righteous game with God. But when the winds blow and the storm comes and the fiery eyes of God are going to examine it, you're going to be questioned, what foundation are you on? But then the wise man, Jesus said, build his house upon the rock. And you know, other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus the Lord. Now notice he said, he that heareth my sayings and doeth them. Well, what are the sayings of Jesus? What does he want us to do? You got your Bible in your lap? Turn to John chapter number 3. John chapter number 3. What did Jesus say we needed to do? He said to Nicodemus, you must be born again. Now, this is the most religious man in the world. He's the head of the Pharisees. You know, Jesus picked out the most religious guy to show us our need for being born again. You look at Legion, man of the thousand devils. Oh, yeah, he needs to be saved. Look at Mary Magdalene, full of seven devils, a heart. Yeah, she needs. But what about Nicodemus? A religious man in every fact, prayed 9 hours a day, never missed a Sabbath service, never missed a new moon, feast days, all of that. But yet the Lord looked at him and said, ye must be born again. Well, how can a man be born when he's old? He said, well, here it is. Verse 14, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus said, hear this saying of mine, and do this saying of mine, and that is, believe on him. Then turn over to John chapter number 6. John chapter number 6. Jesus said in verse 27, labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him hath God the Father sealed. Then they said unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? Get it now. Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. What is the work of God? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Repent of your unrighteousness. Get off that sinking sand. Repent of your self-righteousness. Quit building down there in the marshy bottoms. Get up there to the solid rock, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn over to John chapter number 7. What did Jesus say? In verse number 37, in that last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, he didn't just say it, he cried it out loud. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. And he that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. What work did he want you to do? Believe on him. Drink of him. Take of him. And out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. Turn over to John chapter number 10. What did the Lord Jesus say there in verse number 9? He said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not before to kill, to steal, and destroy. They try to get in another way, but Jesus said, I am the door. And he is the only way of salvation. Oh, it's not a multiple open door for the roads to heaven. It's not a pyramid, you know, one being better than the other. There's only one way. God had the ark built to deliver the human race, and he only had one door in the side of Noah's ark. It wouldn't have passed OSHA. Amen. The inspectors would have never give him a clearance on that. And there's only one door to heaven, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we read, my friend, in John 14:6, and this is the clincher. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. You cannot get to God without building on the foundation of faith in the Lord Jesus. Now, back to Romans chapter number 3. The book of Romans chapter number 3. He told us you can't build a life on unrighteousness. You can't build a life on self-righteousness. So what is the solid foundation? Look in verse number 21. But now, the righteousness without the law of God, without the law, is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is what? By faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. How can I be made righteous in the sight of God? By faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 24, being justified, that means to be declared righteous. How's God going to look at you or me or anybody else and know what we have done and say, I declare you righteous as I am, and I give you permission to enter into my holy kingdom, into the glory world? How can that happen? Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Redemption meaning He paid the price, whom God set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood. Propitiation means to satisfy the wrath. It's not that I got by with my sins, it's that Jesus paid for my sins. Every blot, every ounce, every tittle, every jot, wounded for my transgression, bruised for my iniquity, my chastisement was upon Him. He took my place, hallelujah. And God set Him forth to be a propitiation. How? Through faith in His blood. There's one currency that God receives in the bank of heaven. We're all in debt to God. We're in debt because of our sin. And you lay upon the counter table your works, and God said, that's not the currency I receive. Your excuses, oh, can't receive that. I'll do better, turning over a new, can't receive that. What is the currency of heaven? Faith in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. God said, that'll cash. That'll pay the debt. That'll take care of the ransom. But only through the blood of Jesus Christ. But oh, I like this. Fella said, I'm too wicked to get saved. And the preacher said, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. He said, but you just don't know what I've done or where I've been. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. And everything that he said, he kept going right back to that precious blood that cleanses from all sin. Hallelujah. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. One day the wind's going to blow, the floods are going to rise, the rain's going to come and beat down upon my house. And the Lord's going to say, why should I let you in? And I'm going to quote August Toplady and say, in my hand no price I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. Let the water and the blood from thy wounded side which flowed be of sin the double cure, save from wrath and make me pure. And on the faith grounds of the precious blood of Jesus Christ, God will say, enter thou in to my kingdom. Hallelujah. Now the storm's coming. The test is coming. But what are you going to be standing on in that hour? To declare, I say at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. So where's boasting then? It is excluded. There'll be no bragging in heaven, no boasting of what I've done or what I am. But if you join the choir of God, like this choir this morning, you're going to have to learn this song, because this is what they're singing. God's already recorded it. Worthy is the Lamb, for thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us by thy blood out of every kindred, out of every tongue, and out of every people. Do you know that song? Can you sing that song? I'm redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. It's surprising sometimes in our congregations of our churches how many people do not have assurance that they're saved, and they're not grounded and founded in that, because what if I, it's not what if I, it's him. And you can have blessed assurance, and if you're not on the solid rock foundation, for other foundation can no man lay, than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus the Lord. I urge you this morning to come, get on your knees and say, Lord, I repent of unrighteousness, self-righteousness, and I want to cleave to the righteousness of Jesus for my salvation. Let's stand all over the house, please. Our instrument players are coming this morning. You're here today and you've never been saved. You're not on the solid foundation. The storm's coming. You're going to have to face it. So I say with the old prophet, prepare to meet thy God. Come and rest in Jesus. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Father, I pray that you'll help us this morning by your grace for those that are here not saved, those that are, Lord, watching by a way of digital means today. I pray the Holy Ghost would work in hearts. May this be the good day that they come to know you and experience that free pardon of sin through the blood of Jesus. We commit this time to you in Jesus' name. Amen. What number?